the Don and Mike Show.
And now from Seinfeld, John O'Hurley. We're going to give John the sex quiz. Have you ever enjoyed hot interracial sex?
Yeah.
Oh, Cabana boy.
Time to flick me.
The Don and Mike Show.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara Show. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara Show.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Mr. Son of a Beach.
Hello, everybody. You got the Don and Mike Show. Coming to you live. 4 hours every weekday. From the studios of WJFK, Washington, D.C., broadcasting nationwide and coast to coast, you can call Don and Mike anytime for free at 877-365-3636. But turn your radio down. Know who would you do call. Don't call to play the name game. No calls to rape women. Don't ask when they're coming to your town.
You enjoyed them, sir, but no, I'm afraid they are not real radio personalities.
You can get it. Move to your left. Move to your right. The Don and Mike Show. The best thing you're going to find. The Don and Mike Show. On your radio.
What? Get into it.
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime, toll free at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Ladies and gentlemen, I did a lot of praying last night to this man.
Right.
I got down, I lit a candle, and I said a little prayer to God's only son, Bill Hochberg.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
I'm Rob A. Rob Spiewak from the Don and Mike Show on WJFK, and I want to know, are you ready to help our team do a big win over the Giants today? What do you say, fans?
What do you say, fans?
You know, Phil called me this morning.
Really?
He's very excited. He just bought a brand new $1,500 jumpsuit, and he's ready to compete among the top 20 in America.
Good luck, Phil. He's number one, Rob.
Maybe number two.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Bayer and all the ships at sea. And now, the men who brought you the 12-hour PBS miniseries, Ken Burns' Jizz, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Thank you, Robbie, and hello, and thank you for listening, everybody. We're here now.
Yes, we are. In control now, gentlemen.
Oh, we'll let you know how that goes.
Right, exactly.
Don and Mike Show on a brand new episode. Still courtesy. Brought to you via the auspices of Westwood One.
Yeah.
New episode on Tuesday.
Tuesday.
January 9th. Our phone number, same as it ever was.
Same as it ever was.
Oh, 877-365-3636. That's your hotline to the hits. What can we say?
Welcome to my world.
Welcome to our ever-changing and controversial world.
Yeah. Won't you come on in?
More stuff happening now behind the scenes that we won't bother you with.
Miracles, I guess.
Yes. New friends one day, new enemies another.
Still happen now and then.
However, you know, I'd like to know what's going on.
Step into
yeah, I would,
my
too.
Heart.
I really would.
Because if that's happening,
mm-hmm.
then...
Leave your cares behind.
Gee, maybe we get sick.
Yeah, I got a sore throat.
Welcome to our world.
And of course, you should all know that it's built with you in mind.
Built with you in mind. Built with you in mind.
I won't trouble you with it now, but there's behind-the-scenes problems brewing... Even though we're not on the station in New York anymore.
Mm, right.
There's behind-the-scenes stuff that's brewing now.
Yes.
And we know that Ken Stevens and Jeremy Coleman are involved in that situation.
Yeah, exactly.
And,
you know, and if there's no control over that situation, you know, if we're the enemy now.
Right.
You know, if that's the way they're going to look at us up there in New York, then that's fine. Then
hey.
We, you know, we still believe that those two gentlemen, especially Mr. Stevens, has a connection to this radio station.
Right. Hey, Charlie, did you talk to them up there? Did you figure out without getting into grand detail? about what's going on. Did you get a handle on that situation?
Well, maybe this is
him on the phone. Hello?
I called Jeremy.
Yes.
And he said, what's wrong with that? He said, you guys have done the same thing in the past.
Ah, no, and we've gotten in trouble for that in the past.
I said, we've done that, but we've not gotten anybody to say we could. They don't have permission to do that. And there was a long pause, and he didn't understand why I was asking. I said, besides us thinking it's wrong, why do you think it's right? And he didn't have an answer to that, and I said, you should be the one telling them they can't do this.
Let me explain what's going on. Those big pussies on WNEW, Opie and Anthony, the afternoon guys, what they're doing is, you know, we canceled the contract with NEW yesterday. They still got the satellite feed of our show, and they got comments that we made after the show had ended on the network, and we were just on a local feed.
We had the luxury of still hearing their show, and we heard them making noise like they were going to play excerpts from our show. Now, they can rag on us all they want. That doesn't bother us at all, but if they're going to play tapes of our show, that's a different deal.
Because we've always been told all along, that's unauthorized.
Right.
You can't take a tape of another disc jockey show and play it. You just can't play.
We've ragged on. We've had disc jockey wars for years and years and years. We don't, you know, we can't do that. We've always been told that.
And you certainly can't do that if it's someone who doesn't work at the radio station that you work at.
Right.
And we don't work there anymore, and it was a broadcast that didn't air on WNEW yesterday.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we're pissed about that. It's just Ken and Jeremy. And so what did he say?
He hung up.
I think he hung up.
Well, where did he go?
He hung up.
Hold on. I mean, I was just giving the audience a little background
right,
on this.
Right.
Because, listen, see, this is the entire problem.
Now that we're not going to be coming up there anymore, Opie and Anthony are teeing off on us full-fledged. And now,
this is,
now it's, you know, maybe perhaps the natural feelings that we've had for them and they've had for us can come to the surface.
But this is the hypocrisy of the situation. Exactly what they're doing today is the type of stuff that we get told all the time. We can't do.
Right.
You can't call someone without getting their permission to put their call on the air.
Right.
You can't tape someone without getting their permission to put the call on the air.
Mm-hmm.
And one rule we've had all along is that you can't put another disc jockey's show on the air without that disc jockey's permission.
Right.
I mean,
well, and the bottom line is here also, it's about time that we make a request. Like certain other members of this family have made requests before. It's not a question. I don't care what's legal, what's not legal. I don't want them to do it.
Yeah.
I don't care if they talk about us, but don't play. Don't use our show for your material.
Hey, so what did he say?
He said, well, I guess then I will go nip that in the bud. And I tried to find out from him why he didn't think it was a problem.
And furthermore, where do you think,
you know, we got an enemy
there. Where do you think Opie and Anthony got the copy of the tape of yesterday's show?
I would think Jeremy had to give it to him. But if they weren't going to run it, why were they recording it?
Just to F us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, they're not recording it today.
All right. You better call Jeremy back and tell him that both me and Mike are getting real sick.
Okay. I will. I'm feeling a little gaseous, too.
There you go.
All right.
That's nothing new.
Thank you.
All right, bye.
I mean, where, you know, it's about time to discover where we fit on the pecking order.
Hey, we got to find
out how much value we have here.
Mm-hmm. You know,
I mean, really, this is BS.
If nothing else, they deserve a little loyalty towards us, meaning infinity, meaning that, okay, we had a falling out about what went on WNEW. We think they're wrong. They think we're wrong.
But the fact of the matter is they're up there in large part due to the success of this show. Jeremy and Ken are up there because they were successful down here
and
before
now,
they got the job up there. That's the bottom line.
And now they're going to supply Opie and Anthony with tapes of this show that never aired.
Yeah, that's crap.
In New York and allow them to play that and cut us an a-hole. Hey, forget it. You know what, Infinity? Ken Stevens? I mean, well, what it really comes down to is why don't you decide who's more important to the company?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, really. I got zero problem with walking out.
Hey, it's, you know, it's a bottom line issue. Let's add some numbers up. That's what I think. You want to know who's more valuable to the company? That's an easy equation. You know, you don't even have to do, this doesn't have to be a subjective thing. This can be a completely objective issue. You just add it up.
So, Jeremy, you big pussy, you gave the tape of yesterday's show to Opie and Anthony so they could cut us open today.
Do we know that for a fact?
Well,
as much as I don't want to defend Jeremy.
How else would they get the tape?
Well, they got all the, you know, that boys club they got up there. They got about 750 little ratzos running around that station.
I don't know. All I know is that Every time we've gotten in trouble, they always say it's the program director who's responsible for what goes on the air.
Yeah, exactly.
And listen, he's sitting there with a gigantic dump button.
Right, exactly.
You know, and I know that we've gotten in trouble for doing stuff like that before. Right. We've had severe rules put on us. You know, this goddamn thing with, hi, this is the Don and Mike Show. Do you mind going on the air with us? We're the only show in the whole company that has to follow that rule.
You know, it's just if Jeremy is thinking that he is so removed from us down here in Washington, D.C., that he can say, hey, forget about it. Go ahead. Take on those guys. And, you know, talk about them all you want. He's sorely mistaken.
You know what? See, the thing
he's
is...
He's still tied into this radio station, whether he likes it or not.
It ain't a fair fight. Because, like Mike said, we don't give a rat's ass what Opie and Anthony say about us on their show. It's their right to say anything they want.
But if the station where, you know, we've decided to leave, if they decide to take tape of our programming and play it on that station now, that's unacceptable. And it's unacceptable to play our show last night.
And it's not like it's archived programming that's run,
right,
that's already in their library.
Yeah, if ONA want to talk about us all day on their show, they have that is absolutely no problem. I don't have a problem with that. We can do the same thing for them, and it can go on, and it's actually fine. But I'll tell you right now, if they're taking our show and taking excerpts of it, that's not fine.
And that's something that, frankly, we're not whining about.
We've never done that.
We're not crying about. It's something that we've been told we can't do.
And we have never done it, to the best of my knowledge. Have we ever done that, you know, outside of just talking audition tapes that are sent here for comic value? Have we ever taken excerpts from a show? I don't think it's happened.
No.
You know, we've had tiny little, maybe a commercial line here or, you know, a Merry Christmas line here, but we have never taken content from another show that we're ragging on and playing. No. We don't need to do that.
Mm-hmm. No, we record stuff off television, stuff that's in the public domain. Mm-hmm. I mean, and you can say, okay, the show's in the public domain, but they lifted it off the satellite last night at NEW and gave it to these guys on a platter. And the other reason that we're pissed is, hey, it's obvious that Ken and Jeremy have decided where their bread is buttered.
Right.
Right? We had a falling out with them.
Right.
The bread is buttered with Opie and Anthony. That's fine. Make your bed. Lie in it. But we've worked for them for 9 years.
Exactly.
And we've done an awful lot for them for 9 years. And I'll say fairly and vice versa. But if you're going to F us, and if you're going to let your afternoon guys in New York F us, and you're going to give them the stick to stick up our rear end,
then we feel just like the other guy feels a little bit.
Right.
You know, if that's the case, that's fine. And you know something? Before ONA came into this equation, everything was fine. They're the ones that stirred up a lot of this crap.
Right.
They really are.
Because they were threatened by us from day one.
Yes.
And we played nice every single day with
them. We did, and it was hard to do. It really was. It was definitely hard to do. Because we, you know, let's be honest. We always did believe that we were the show that's right for afternoons.
Yeah.
In the entire company, we know we are.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to figure out what's going on. Maybe we'll just leave today. I mean, I hate to F everybody who's listening to the show, but really, this is an internal matter.
We got to flex our muscles somehow. That's the only power we have.
This is an internal matter with management here at this station, because both Ken and Jeremy are still involved in the management of this radio station.
Right.
You know, if it was any other station in the company...
You tried to call Ken today, too.
Yeah, and he wouldn't take my call.
Yeah.
Yet I know that G. Gordon Liddy got through to him.
Yeah, G. Gordon Liddy talked to him today.
And I called Jeremy, and all I received was his voicemail.
Right.
Every time.
So, I mean, once again, the proactive management, you know, where they're simply, you know, it's one thing to be off that station. We made that decision. They honored that last night. Then it's quite another to take that station, which, you know, there's still a connection between these two radio stations, and to use our material...
Without our permission,
to slam us. That's I don't know about that.
Yeah, forget it. I say we just leave. I'm very serious. I'm pissed about that.
I think we should find out exactly what's going on and if this thing is being, quote, nipped in the bud. And if it's not, you know.
Well, even if it's not nipped in the bud, I mean, what are we going to do? Sit back again and take it again?
Right.
We're always the guys in this company that sit back and say, okay, all right, so you've done something else to us. Okay, that's okay. You know. We're good guys. That's our whole friggin' problem with this company.
Mm-hmm.
Is that every time they do something like this, we always say, okay.
Right.
You know, we're the guys that do the job for them.
Yeah.
Sucks. Sucks on ice.
You know, might be time really to talk to one guy.
The Big E?
The big guy.
Yeah.
Just to have you and I to have a meeting with him, or have some kind of, you know, if he can give us 10 minutes of his time just to explain our situation and explain that, you know, we've adhered to certain things and we've done what we thought was right for a long period of time, and it just doesn't seem to be getting recognized.
I mean, I certainly know that when we've been in situations where there have been internal fights in the company. We've been asked to back off certain situations.
And when it comes from a certain individual, we always back off.
Yeah, we always do. Mm-hmm. And look where it's gotten us.
Because, you know, and that's not because we're afraid of the boss. That's because we do have a sense of loyalty to where the opportunities have come from us.
Yeah, sure.
And, you know, for us, I should say. That's why we do that. And, you know, we do have a sense of that loyalty. And, you know, it should be returned. I mean, we bitch and moan and complain about our bosses and complain about Jeremy and Ken and stuff like that. But we don't want to be on WNAW because we just don't think we can win. That we don't. It's not a vindictive move. It's a it's a move that just means we don't think we have a chance to win. We're not being given an opportunity.
You
so
know
why
is,
stay?
You know what is vindictive, though, is the next day
to get the, you know, your afternoon show that's there. And obviously, you know,
give them the material that they don't have the right to air.
Right.
I mean, that's the whole friggin' thing with all of the rules that they cram down our throat.
Yep.
Constantly.
Exactly.
I think we need to take a break.
I think so, too.
I really think we need to take a break. And we might be back and we might not be back.
We'll find out what's going on. If you hear us come back, you'll know that something might have gotten resolved. If you don't hear us, you'll know that things aren't resolved. We're not very happy right now.
But please just understand that we appreciate the fact that you guys listen to the show.
We are committed to here in Washington, D.C. and the rest of the network. We are committed to this, but certain times statements have to be made.
At some point, the people who are up at top of this company, they've just got to play fair with us.
Absolutely. We have to have a voice. We have to be acknowledged.
Right.
And we do think that we have brought an awful lot to the table for an awful long time.
They just ain't respecting us at all.
Right.
It's like everything we've done for the last 9 years means nothing because they've got the flavor of the month up there.
Yeah, because they're up there in New York, all of a sudden we're another program. And we're not just another program. We never have been. Not with those two guys.
Right.
Not with Ken Stevens and not with Jeremy Coleman.
Right.
Okay? They know better. They know better.
So anyway, we're going to take a break, and we'll figure out what's going on, and maybe we'll be back. And again, I'm real sorry to trouble you all with this again today. I promise you this. If we don't come back, we won't be coming back until we either get this straightened out with our lawyer or we find a new radio station.
Yeah, exactly.
It's real simple. And you can only F with us for so long. We felt underappreciated around here for a long time, and we don't bitch about it.
It's come to a head.
You know?
It's come to a head with two individuals.
Ken and Jeremy, you want to take sides on this? You know? You want to be pissed at us? Be pissed at us. Be a man. Pick up the phone and call and say, hey, I'm pissed at you. But don't do something backwards like this. Something that we have gotten in trouble for before.
Yeah, and take your attitude and shove it.
Right.
Take your attitude and shove it. We think we've done an awful lot for this company.
So that's it. We just want a little respect from Ken and Jeremy.
Issue of respect.
That's all. It's just, you know, everybody should play by the same rules.
Right.
That's all we're asking. So, Jeremy, why don't you handle one? Because I understand you have so many things on your plate right now. Here's another thing for you to handle. We're out. Oh, no, don't. Ignore that. Rob loaded the touchstones. Please ignore that.
Yeah, because you'd need somebody here to handle the touchdowns.
Get a best of ready.
Got it.
We're out.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Look how loud I have to yell!
This all seems a little elaborate for Sloppy Joe's. I know what the other 11 forks are for, but what do you do with this one?
Why, Mike, I believe you're supposed to scratch your ass with it.
Homer, watch your left. Oh, that's a lifesaver.
God damn it. The Don and Mike Show.
We got a couple of stories here. I don't know which one's going to pan out, okay, from our wacky story file. This one really caught my eye because this is a story I can relate to. Let me just preface this by telling you that in 1981, I won a competition at Disneyland where I was the Southern California
Miss Pac-Man champion.
Miss Pac-Man champion.
I've seen this man work on a Pac-Man machine, and it's truly uncanny. You don't forget that skill.
No, I have all of my patterns and stuff.
And you can still
yeah.
You have a machine at home.
I've got the real arcade machine at home, the Miss Pac-Man. So at the time, this was 1981, Frida and I had just gotten married. She thought I was the biggest idiot in the world because I made her come to Disneyland, where it was me. I was the only adult playing against, like, 500 kids, all of us playing Ms. Pac-Man, and I played for 7 hours.
Ooh. Knocking them out. Knocking kid after kid after kid out of the competition.
And I actually got a wonderful trophy, and for the longest time, I really thought that was a real accomplishment, right? Because I'm a douche like that I thought it was great to be the Ms. Pac-Man champion. Well, listen to this. 45-year-old Roy Schultz set the world record for missile command 15 years ago, and he's been trying to get the world to notice him ever since.
That is sad.
A video game champ who set a world record in 1985 says he's tired of being ignored. He claims the reason he's not famous is because the media is more interested in Monica Lewinsky than a guy who's got the highest score ever on Missile Command.
That it gets sadder the more you read.
It does. He has actually sent out a press release that he wants people to call it.
Is Missile Command the one where at the end it would say, the end?
Yes.
The world would blow up?
It had the trackball
that
you rolled back and forth where there were like nuclear bombs coming down.
Very difficult video game. And a great video game. I mean, a video game that I think still holds up.
Absolutely. It does. Real tough. Real easy to get through the first three or four levels to save your cities.
Easy for some of you that are skilled at that. I would always, like, go out in the first round. It was difficult for me to do that.
I think the best I ever did on Ms. Pac-Man, the best ever, was maybe a score of about 600,000. And I've definitely gotten past the eighth screen.
How much time would it take to get to that?
Maybe 2.5 hours.
Really?
Maybe solid 3 hours.
Do you ever get, like, a blister?
No. 4, 7, 7, 6.
Oh, what, he's not there?
Oh.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
Leave your message after the tone.
He's not trying to get noticed.
Yeah, hey, listen, this is the Pac-Man champion, the Ms. Pac-Man champion from Disney World, 1981. Perhaps you've heard of me.
Hey.
And, and you are a dick. That's all I want to say to you, you dick. Okay, let's move on to the next story.
Hi.
Okay,
this is the Pong champion.
You want to call a very, very lucky woman?
Yes, I do.
We have the phone number for Ike Turner's 13th wife.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
See if he straightened himself out.
No, he hasn't.
Oh, really?
Ike Turner's 13th wife has a few things in common with his 11th wife. Mm. His 11th wife, of course, was Tina.
That was his 11th?
Yes.
Yeah. You mean that long ago he was on wife number? Wow, I didn't know that.
Both Tina and Jeanette Singh. And they have both dumped him. And no, Ross, he was never married to Kathleen Turner.
Oh, I thought he was.
Huh. Let me see. She filed divorce in May. She is the 13th woman to divorce Ike Turner.
Then I was with Ike. It was difficult to babysitter. Hi, Rosie.
No, that's Kathleen Turner.
I see. That's right. This is
Jeanette Turner.
Jeanette Turner.
Jeanette Turner.
We're sorry. Your call cannot be completed.
All right. Hold on. Let me try it again. 7-6.
She should easily be able to get a special on TNT, I would think.
Turner Network Television.
Coming up.
Do you think Ike and Ted are related? Hey, Dad.
Definitely.
I'm getting divorced again.
Tonight, What's Love Got to Do with It? Followed by Body Heat.
Hello?
Yes, hello. Is this Jeanette?
Yes, it is.
Hi, Jeanette. This is the Don and Mike Show. Do you mind going on the air with us?
Didn't I already do your show?
No, honey. I know that we all sound the same to you, but you haven't.
Well, listen. Y'all don't sound the same to me. Now, where are you at?
It's a national show all the way from New York to California.
And can you give me some more information so I can have you record of you?
A record of us? What kind of information do you want, honey?
We'll give you our whole bio.
What's your radio show, the call letters are, and where you're located?
We're on over 60 radio stations. I can't give you all of them.
We're on the Westwood One Radio Network. We're based in Washington, D.C.
Washington, D.C.
Right.
Okay. Right. I got a buddy when my bass player is there with this theatrical play called Ain't Nothing But the Blues.
Honey, you are Ike Turner's 13th wife?
Are we on the air right now?
Yeah, well, yes. That would be why they made me read that call to you. Where
I
hi.
Thought maybe you would call me first and try to set it up before you...
No, that slows us down. We like to move...
We don't do that. No,
at a rapid pace on this show.
We're on the air right now.
Okay, that's fine with me.
So you were Ike's 13th?
Yes.
Why would you, after the previous 12 had failed, why would you be the 13th to marry Ike Turner?
Why would Tina be 11th?
Was he charming?
He was charming and lovable, and I fell in love with him.
Well, I'll say this about Tina, that at least when Tina married him, when Tina was the 11th to marry him, there had been nobody who had written a book and had a movie made. I mean, it's not like wife number five had a movie made
right.
about what an a-hole Ike is. Well, by the time it got to you at number 13, had you already seen the movie, What's Love Got to Do with It?
Yes, I saw the movie, but 11 is 11, not 2, not 1, not 3, but 11.
Now, you knew that he had this track record going into the marriage. What, I mean, what were your thoughts about that when you decided to marry him?
I just wanted to trust in my heart and trust in Ike, and I was, you know, trusting. And
you thought he was reformed?
Yes, because I've been with him since he's get cleaned up his act, and I thought that he was going to be true to me, and apparently he was not. So.
How long were you married to Ike?
Legally, I was married to him for 5 years this year, and we were together for 12.
Can you tell us all what it is that you loved most about Ike Turner?
Well, he was just very charming and lovable and likes to have fun. He doesn't act his age. I don't think he'll ever grow up.
What's he, about 80 now?
68.
68. What do you dislike most about Ike Turner?
His temper.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's all easy. Right.
Gotcha. That's an easy one.
Can I ask how old you are, Jeanette?
37.
37, wow. Jesus.
Wow.
So there's quite an age difference. Did you have a healthy sex life with Ike?
No.
Really?
Your fault or his fault?
I think we'll leave that alone.
You'll leave the sex life alone?
Yeah.
Was he, you know, as Tina Turner said, was he abusive in the relationship?
Probably not as much with me as he was with her, but yes, he was.
He hit you?
Yeah.
Was he soft in the pants?
What does that mean?
You know.
Well, I mean, 68. Was he
soft in the pants?
Oh, well, I'm not going to touch on that either.
Mm-hmm. What about, I'm reading here that you want to pose for Playboy. Is that true?
That's true. I do want to do that. I also want to write a book, and I am recording. I just auditioned for this theatrical play, the one I just told you about, Ain't Nothing But the Blues.
See, why are you dissing Tina?
They're there in Washington, D.C., as a matter of fact. You should be able to see their show there.
Why were you dissing Tina? Because it sounds to me like you want to be just like Tina.
Oh, my goodness. Never, ever am I going to diss her. How did you get that?
Well, when I asked you what it was like to marry, you know, number 13, and you said, well, you should ask number 11.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I felt like you were dissing me, making me feel like I'm stupid or something, and I'm not, and I don't feel that she is either. I have all the respect in the world for her.
When you said that, it sounded kind of like, you know, that maybe she was speaking out of turn. Do you buy everything that she said about him and written in her book and the movie and the whole night? Do you believe all that's legit?
I believe most of it is. Yes, I do.
Are you cute?
I've been told that I'm a nice-looking woman.
Will you describe yourself to us, please? Who's the celebrity?
You can go on mp3.com if you have the internet there, and there's
what
a
is
picture
it?
Of me. And
mp3.com?
mp3.com, and type in Jeanette Turner.
All right, Buzz, we got our news guys going there right now to find a picture of her. Who's the celebrity you think you most resemble?
Who's the celebrity that I resemble?
Uh-huh. Yeah, we ask all of our listeners that, and since we haven't seen a picture of you, it's a way that we have of...
You know who I resemble more than anybody?
Who, honey?
Nicole Simpson.
Really?
I know that sounds crazy, but everybody I meet, you look just like Nicole Simpson.
So you're
I hope I don't end up like her.
Yeah, except your head is still attached to your body.
Yeah, and you're blonde? You're blonde and beautiful?
Yes.
So you're the white devil.
No.
It's the hot interracial romance.
Oh,
that's
my
right. God. Ebony and Ivory.
Ebony and Ivory.
Yes.
But unfortunately, it didn't work out that well.
No.
At any time when you were married to Ike, did you consider legally changing your name to Mrs. Lucky?
No.
Buzz, did you find the picture of Jeanette?
This woman is absolutely gorgeous.
Did she really describe her, Buzz?
Beautiful. Well, shoulder-length blonde hair, right?
Yeah.
And in this picture, she's wearing a silver vest that's open with nothing underneath. And
can you see everything?
Silver pants. Well, no. It's a publicity photo.
Okay, I gotcha.
And to the imagination.
Right.
Until you get into Playboy, are you...
right.
Is that going well? Do you expect to be in Playboy? Are you far along in the negotiation?
Well, no, negotiations have just started.
Oh, okay.
Ah, gotcha. Would you sleep with Hugh Hefner to get in Playboy?
No.
Would you consider marrying Larry King?
No.
Would you ever, if Playboy didn't work out, would you consider some of the... lesser publications, in my case, I don't think lesser. Penthouse, Club,
Swank,
We,
Club. You said Club?
Oh. I think I said Club.
No. If I can't do Playboy, I won't do anything.
Oh, boy, Hugh Hefner, he's got the corner on that mark.
If you get in Playboy, Jeanette, the 13th Mrs. Ike Turner, will you show everything?
Will I do what?
Will you show everything?
I won't have a choice then, will I?
Do you know what I mean when I say show everything?
I don't know. Maybe I don't.
Will you get into the position like you were going to the GYN?
No, I don't think so.
You won't.
You won't do. Doesn't matter because Playboy, they don't make him do that anyway.
Right.
That would be more like Penthouse.
Yeah, or Hustler.
Or Hustler. Yeah. We didn't mention Hustler.
Playboy is classy, and that's why I wanted to do it with Playboy. If I don't do it with Playboy, I won't do it with.
That's the same thing Darva Conger said too.
If Penthouse offered you a spread. However, they said the only way you can get in the spread is if they can photograph you nude, urinating, would you do it?
No.
Because isn't that the big thing
now
in Penthouse?
Yeah, that's what they do. They actually do that in Penthouse magazine now. It's their new thing.
God.
It's true. Pick up a copy sometime. They really do that in
there. It turns guys on.
Yeah, it's
oh, my God.
They do. I swear to God.
True.
I believe you.
Do you pay Ike alimony or does Ike pay you alimony?
Neither.
You didn't get any kind of monetary settlement after the marriage?
Well, it's not over with yet.
Oh, you're in the middle of it?
Yes.
Oh, okay. We're
trying to get our court date together.
Does he have a lot of money still?
He's comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Comfortable. He's not related to Ted, is he?
No.
Ted Turner? And what is Ike short for?
Izier?
How do you get Ike out of Izier?
Well, that's a nickname for Izier.
All right. Well, listen, Jeanette, thank you for your time. We just thought it would be interesting to talk to the 13th Mrs. Ike Turner.
We're going to run over to the website and take a look at your picture. We can't see it from where we are, but our news guy, Buzz, says you're a hottie. Very pretty.
Oh, thank you.
Would you mind if I close this interview with a joke?
As long as it's not going to hurt my feelings.
Okay, what do you get when you cross... Ike Turner with Ted Turner.
I don't know.
The guy who colorizes his wife black and blue.
Oh my God. Bada-bing. Always end the interview with a joke.
Okay. Take care, okay?
Let a smile be your handshake.
Yeah, be happy, make somebody else, Jeanette.
Okay, thank you.
That's all the time we have. I'm so glad we had this time together. The current time is 1:30. Until next time, make your time a special time.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Crazy hoe.
She was a whore.
Very pretty.
I don't doubt she's hot, Buzz.
Wow.
The 13th, Mrs. Ike Turner.
That's the Ike Turner wife after all the stuff was out.
Right, after the book, after the movie, after Tina screamed out how he treated her.
Kind of thought he was reformed.
Right.
I guess he hadn't been.
I guess not.
What's the thing you dislike the most? His temper.
Yeah. Right. Well, the celebrity she most resembles, Nicole.
Yeah, terrific.
Nicole, not a great choice.
My God.
All right, there you go, exclusive interview. We will be back with more in a moment.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
This is Larry Michael, Westwood One, Notre Dame Radio. The next time you need light bulbs, look to Sylvania for all your home lighting needs. I do. How about this lame-ass analysis?
Come on over, baby.
No daft tricks allowed. The Don and Mike Show.
We had a great anniversary night last night.
Good.
Frida and I, surprise, went to the Palm Restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Hey. Where we didn't eat for free. We actually paid for
it.
They're very nice. The people over at the Tyson's Corner Palm had the pleasure of having the same waiter who served Dennis Murphy.
Ah.
who told me what a pleasure it was to serve Dennis his meal.
Did he cut his meat?
He did not cut his meat. He did say that Dennis is totally off base when Dennis said the girl he was with looks like Connie Chung. He said the girl's not even close to being Asian.
Oh, really?
But the girl had round eyes.
What is Dennis?
I don't know. God. I don't know.
The great communicator.
So Frieda and I, we were in the middle of having this great 19th anniversary dinner last night, and the cell phone rings, and it's Amy. You know, my grown-up daughter, Amy, who is over 20 years old now. And right in the middle of dinner, she called, I thought, to say happy anniversary. And as it turns out, she did say happy anniversary, and then she... She gave me the present that that every father is looking for on his anniversary.
Oh,
no, not that one. She's not pregnant.
Oh, all right. Okay.
She's not pregnant. She just wanted an exorbitant amount of money.
There you go.
Happy
anniversary, baby.
I'm not talking about, you know, hey, can you float me a couple of bucks to help me pay my rent?
Right.
You know, I'm behind on a credit card, although I heard all of that.
Right.
I mean, it was the big one. It was, she said, I'm having some financial problems, and I said, okay, you know, I'm here for you. Tell me, you know, I've certainly have paid her school loans, bought her a car, done all that stuff.
Right.
And then I said, well, what are we talking about here? She said, because she mentioned the rent and the car payment behind on her credit cards. And I said, give me a ballpark. What are we talking about to get you out of trouble? And she said, $15,000.
Oh!
And I said, good luck.
Wow.
I said, good luck to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's a hell of a lot of money. I told her I'd say the same thing to Bart. Mm-hmm. I said, you know, if Bart was 20 years old and dug himself in that type of a hole, I'd say good luck. I mean, as it turns out, I did end up, you know, writing her a check today.
Mm-hmm.
And said, just count that as a wedding gift enough to, you know, hopefully to get her through the month with her bills and stuff.
That's
but
fair.
I mean, I'm Jesus Christ, $15,000.
Wow.
And then she got pissed when I said no.
Of course. Well, that's natural too, I suppose.
She got real pissed.
You know, any kid that doesn't get what they want probably reacts that way. You know, my God,
$15,000.
Wow.
$15,000. Jesus Christ.
That's a rather significant sum of money, right?
He said, I know that you're my daughter, and a lot of this comes in the genes, but Jesus, even I wasn't in financial trouble like that when I was 20 years old.
Wow, and did she give you any specifics?
No, and that's what was the pisser about it, is that I know I'm being BS'd about this, because I said, well, how much is your rent? And she told me what her rent is, which I didn't believe, because she lives in Wisconsin, you know, and basically everybody in Wisconsin lives in like an outhouse.
They have a rent ceiling of $250.
And then she mentioned a car payment, which Frieda pointed out is more than either of our car payments.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And then she mentioned the part about credit cards, and I said, well, I know with a credit card, I know that, you know, if you're upside down in the credit cards, you can just send them whatever you can, and if you promise them that you're going to make a payment every month, they will back off. I know because I've done that, and I'd be glad to help, you know, in any way. And at that point, that's when she said, well, never mind. I never should have called you anyway.
Ooh.
I never should have asked you for the money anyway.
Laying the old guilt trip on you.
Right, so that's how, that was the big anniversary dinner.
Oh, that's too bad.
You know, right in the middle of dinner. And I hang up the phone and Frieda said, well, what did she want? Did she want to say happy anniversary? I said, yes, she said happy anniversary. And she wants $15,000.
Oh, my.
Ooh.
Well, that kind of put a crimp in the old anniversary din.
You know, it did for a couple of seconds. And then
did you buy maybe some gift certificates from the restaurant?
And then once Frieda got pissed at me, I snapped right out of it.
Ah, very good.
I was moping a little bit. And then she said, well, you know, if you're going to be like this, F you. You know, you're ruining our anniversary.
Oh, dear.
And I had to snap out of it.
She's got a right, I guess, to say that.
Yeah.
You know, that's your previous life.
No, and I feel an obligation to Amy, certainly, but we need some harder facts. I said to her, I would say the same thing to Bart. You know, if Bart, God forbid, was to call me when he was 20 and just say, hi, hey, Dad, how you doing? Can you send me $15,000?
Right.
Hello.
Hey, honey.
Yes, my boo-boo.
Hi, baby.
Hi.
I was just talking about the $15,000 phone call we got yesterday.
Oh, are you? Wait a minute. I'll go inside so I can hear you, but I'm outside with the neighborhood.
Well, listen to her. Listen to her, the life she leads.
Oof.
Sounds like quite a festival going on.
Yeah, right. We get rid of our kid, but we have every other kid in the street here.
Frida, this is Mike. I thought you were going to talk about all this Republican nonsense at your anniversary dinner last night.
He wasn't talking to me about it. He was thinking about that phone call, and he really blew our anniversary.
Yeah, I guess that happened.
I told him you said that last night. That we got the phone call, and then I was down,
right.
And then you got pissed at me for being down, so I had to just, forget about it.
Forget about it.
Yeah, and you do such a good job of covering your feelings. Three martinis later, you were a little happier.
Yeah, I did all right.
Yeah.
Isn't that wonderful?
Aunt Martini's wonderful. You ask waiters for them, and they bring them.
Yeah.
It was $15,000. I mean, and Frieda and I had a talk about it. Listen, if we believed that she really, really was in some type of dire, upside-down situation, we'd do it. But, don't you agree? Don't you think we're being BS'd on that?
Who, me?
Oh, you know,
I do. I mean, but, I have to kind of play the neutral party because it's I don't want to tell you what not to do. It would be worth it if we could afford it, to not have you upset. But I think you go down that path and there's no return. You're bailing somebody out for the rest of your life. You're looking at 40 years of $15,000.
Oh, and then the other thing that she said was, not to tell her mother about it.
That was
another red flag.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, even different if the mother called you and said, there was a situation.
Don't tell Dawn about that. Dawn, who works at the sewage treatment
plant.
And
when she outlined what her payments were, and her car payment is like twice as much as mine, it's hard to believe.
Yeah, it didn't make sense.
Yeah.
Well, other than that, we had a grand time, didn't we?
Yeah, we had a lovely time.
Oh, come on.
Well, it was good food.
Oh, come on.
You mean
you didn't have a good time last night?
No, you weren't your most charming. I'm sorry.
Didn't I pull out of that tailspin?
Not really. You got a little bleary-eyed. I don't know if that's, if I can really credit you with that or the martini.
Oh, boy. See, if she's not going to give you the credit and she's going to give the martinis the credit, you're doomed.
Yeah. Well, I thought I did a wonderful job of pulling out. I mean, that's a major monkey wrench.
Mm-hmm.
You might be referring to a... No, that's a...
No.
But you know what I mean.
No, he didn't do that job.
Yeah. Pulling out.
Oh, no. Oh, I never pull out. Never.
No, he wasn't even close. When martinis are had, I've pretty much got a vacation for that evening.
Oh, no, come on. We had anniversary sex. We just had anniversary sex in the daytime.
In the morning.
In the morning.
Thank God, you wait till, a suitable hour.
Yesterday morning we had sex. And, if you want to be picky about it, who was Mr. Your Needs Come Before Mine? I believe it was me.
No, you were very,
And once again, I get the hair pull thing. And I don't know why that is.
Because you don't need to please me like that.
See?
Just not necessary.
We're in the same boat on that one.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about. It's just
he doesn't need to please you like that either.
No, you know what I'm talking about. It's just, I get the, I think, sometimes some women like to be pleased other ways, I guess.
She comes out of the tub, mm-hmm. She's all clean. I think, we're past that. It's our anniversary. What better way to show her that, I'm here for you? I start down that path, and right away I get the hair pull.
How long were you down there before you got the hair pull?
Oh,
I never made it.
I only got to the belly button.
No, he was en route, and I detoured.
We're simpatico on that one.
I only got to the belly button, and then I got the most ridiculous explanation that she had just put Neosporin down there.
Oh my!
Because I guess she had just done some grooming down there.
Okay, all right. You mean you'd done a little waxing or something?
No. I didn't want razor burn.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Sorry. I'm sure you all had to know that.
I'm glad you explained it. If you'd left it at Neosporin, we would have been a little concerned.
And even then, there's
no infection. But you know what, Boo? When I told you that, I don't know if you noticed, but I was a little embarrassed just when you and me were alone together and I told you. So thanks for sharing that.
Well, listen, I only mentioned that because, you busted my balls because we didn't do it last night because I'd had three drinks and because Amy asked me for $15,000 and excuse me that put a slight crimp in my plans for the evening.
Oh, I'm sure. You weren't going to have those martinis before that phone call. That's why I had to take a separate car so I could be your designated driver.
Well, didn't we decide that in advance, though?
Right.
Well, I would say that if there wasn't that gigantic weight over us last night, that we certainly could have fulfilled our obligations, but those obligations had been fulfilled earlier in the day.
You never, when you have martinis,
And hold on, and not only that, not only did I get the hair pulling, But, you know, give me a break on the amount of time for the actual event.
Right. Am I faulting your performance yesterday morning? No.
I'm telling you, I was
more than adequate.
I was not the 30-second man. I was not the one-minute man. I was not the five-minute man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was lots and lots and lots of time.
You know, you have a guilty conscience. I didn't say anything bad about that performance.
All right.
All right, my sweet pea.
Okay. Love you.
All right, I love you.
Love you.
Bye, Sugar Bear.
Did you send her the check today?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Hey, Frida, before you go, not to belabor it, you know he's signing up with the Republican Party in a few minutes.
You know what? Our relationship gets on thinner and thinner ice as we go on.
Oh, you don't give a crap about that.
I do.
Oh,
you know, that's
on.
One of the things I respect about you, and that we are simpatico on, and that we do have a little bond in our political beliefs.
I'm holding that hope that maybe he'll just put a big screw job on him when they get here.
No, you can't do it. Listen, okay. This guy Lieberman is bad news, man.
Just there. I've never wanted to be married to someone who's right-wing. I've seen it happen.
I'm going to be the most liberal of the right-wingers.
Yeah, and it's not good enough. It's really going
to... Well, listen.
Way to go, Frida. That's why I brought it up.
I was hoping,
because I know nothing I can say will change your mind.
Yeah, but,
nothing Buzz will say, but this is a woman that if there's anybody that can change your mind, this
true.
Woman right here can do it.
I'm only one man. I'm only one vote.
I understand, but all those of us who care about you...
We're just talking about how well we get along. I mean...
Honey, how often do we discuss politics? We discuss politics when we vote. Or we discuss politics, we say, this guy's a dick or that guy's a dick.
Because we have a mutual understanding about certain things.
And I think we will continue to have the same mutual understanding about most events. I just don't want a guy being vice president whose number one job it is to censor radio.
And I will tell you, I don't think that's his number one job. I think that's one element of a bunch of elements.
And not to mention the fact that, you know, sniff my anal vapors, Tipper Gore.
Right.
She's a big one on censorship, too.
I don't know whether it's censorship per se, but I'll tell you, it's that one element on both those people that I don't care for. But the big picture, I'm willing to overlook that one element.
Sugar Bear, you have to look about all the other qualities combined.
Right.
Honey, he has most of the qualities that you like.
And there are a lot more censorship people on the other side of the aisle.
The more you guys try to talk me out of it, you know who I am.
Yeah. I know.
The more you talk me out of it, the more I'm going to dig my heels in it.
But you wouldn't respect me if I didn't try to talk you out of it.
But I'm doing it.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that adds, you know, when you're skating on thin ice with me, that happens, you know, more than we want to say.
Sure.
And one of the things in the plus category of you, I do this little pros and cons, and always in the pros.
Honey, then you know what? Then call your lawyer because the guy's here. I'm going to sign up right now.
All right, then that puts a little X in the con category.
All right, that's fine.
The scales might tip.
I'll live with that. I'm sad to note that you will love me or not love me based on my political party of choice.
No, you know what? If you start taking walks with me, then that'll put a little check mark in the pro category.
Yeah.
Right now, you're
come on, we do sit-ups together.
That's not exactly fun.
All right. I'll find some way to balance this out with you.
Yeah, you better.
So your GOP agenda
they
just put in front of
me? Anniversary present. That was another one in the con category.
All right, honey.
All right, goodbye, sweetie.
Love you. Goodbye.
Thanks for trying, Frida.
Yeah.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
We don't need no badges. I don't have to show you any stinking badges.
Broadcasting with a secret stash of ass gas, Don and Mike.
Don and Mike, hello.
Hey, is it? Am I caller 100?
Yes, yes. Yes, you are. Are you an upper management at KFA? You just have that sound about you.
Timid.
What's your name?
Tim.
Tim, where are you from?
Sacramento.
Tim, caller 100. And you won the WCW Thunder Prize Pack. Don't miss WCW Thunder tonight. Goldberg and many other wrestlers.
All right.
Hey, would you just get done J-O-ing or something?
Yeah.
You seem out of breath. Are you incredibly nervous? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
All right.
You've also qualified for $1,000 that we're giving away on Friday's episode. A random winner this week gets $1,000 cash from OnMoney.com. Bring all of your accounts together with a single easy-to-use statement from OnMoney.com. See and manage your bank and investment accounts and your credit cards with OnMoney.com. Please listen on Friday's episode when we give away $1,000.
Okay.
I'm worried about that breathing.
do me a favor.
Yeah.
Go like this. Put your fingers on your nose like this. Okay?
Yeah.
Fingers on the nose. Now, close your mouth. Now, the fingers that are on your nose, take those fingers and put them over your mouth. Now, breathe through your nose. Don't breathe through your mouth.
He's breathing through his nose. I don't hear mouth breathing anymore.
Remember, you took the fingers from your nose and put the fingers on your mouth. Now, are you getting a good flow of air through your nostrils?
Yeah.
All right, this is how we civilize people who walk on 2 feet. This is how we breathe, through our noses.
What's going on in the background there? Are you at...
Everybody at work's, like, now standing around, so, everyone's talking, and it's hard to hear.
Like they're all, around,
Yeah.
Tell them that we're teaching you how to breathe through your nose.
They're teaching me how to breathe through my nose.
Because you're a mouth breather.
Because I'm a mouth breather.
Where are you employed, sir, if you don't mind telling us?
At Educaid.
Educaid?
Yeah.
Is that sort of educational place?
Yeah, they do student loans.
Student loans. Would you please ask some of your coworkers if they've ever noticed that you have this habit of breathing through your mouth?
Have you guys ever noticed I have a problem of breathing through my mouth? Yeah.
Do you have to be a good student to work at Educaid?
No, not at all. Obviously not.
Of course not.
Obviously not.
I just think of the guy that's getting his PhD that, you know, needs the loan and he's got to talk to this guy. It's kind of an interesting situation.
Would you please ask your coworkers if they think you have bad breath?
Do you guys think I have bad breath?
Yeah.
No hesitation. Right.
That's another reason you should learn to breathe through your nose, not through your mouth. See, that way you're not blowing that bad breath out. See, I just heard you doing it again. You're breathing through your mouth. Mm-hmm.
You'll actually be less stale if you bring some of that air in through your nose.
Let's try it. Put your hand over your mouth. Let me hear you talk. Go, so I know your hands over your mouth.
A lozenge always works, too, because you have to keep the mouth closed really well. Some people don't. What was that?
Pardon me?
Oh, that was one of my coworkers.
And what did he say?
He said you suck.
What's his name?
His name's Justin.
Well, why did you ask Justin to be a big man and pick the telephone up?
Hey, Justin, they want to talk to you. Hold on, we're getting them.
Justin.
All right.
Come here.
Justin.
Is Justin coming to the phone?
He's hiding.
He's hiding. Well, tell me, he was a big man. He was a big man to scream into the telephone and keep running.
Hey, Justin.
Hey, tell Justin that we have...
Hold on, here he comes.
All right, good.
Hold on.
Are you still breathing through your mouth?
Yes, he is.
Hold on.
Do you have a bad tooth?
Is Justin...
Hello?
Is Justin on the phone?
Yeah, this is him.
Hey, bud, what's your problem?
Yeah, I mean, we're giving your buddy here a prize on our show, and you got to come by and shoot your mouth off. What's the problem, bud?
Hey, you guys aren't usually like that to me when I listen on the radio.
Hey, dude, what's your problem, man?
Yeah, come on, what's the problem, Justin?
What?
What's the problem?
This is all made up. I just work here. I didn't say anything.
Well, he said that the guy that said, somebody came by and leaned in and said the show sucks.
I said this?
Somebody did.
I listen to you guys every day. I had my headphones on.
Oh, so it's not you?
No.
All right, we'll put the guy with the bad breath and the mouth breather back on the phone.
We'll find out who it is.
All right, there you go. Thanks.
Thank you, Justin.
I don't believe him, but let's find out.
Is this the guy with the bad breath?
Yeah.
Well, now, Justin says that he didn't walk by and say the show sucks.
Oh.
Was he lying?
Yeah. We're going to have to talk to him about that.
No, why don't you talk about it with him right now, right in front of us. Bring him over, and if you... this is the way that I found to best deal with conflict.
Mm-hmm.
One-on-one.
Right.
This is something I learned from the great Alan Linewine.
Absolutely.
Mano a mano. That is the way to deal with problems.
Absolutely. Right.
Bring Justin back to your cubicle, look him in the eye, and tell him that you know he said that.
Come here, Justin.
I better be getting the best housewarming present, man.
Someone was talking about your housewarming present.
What do you want me to say?
Did he say that our show sucks?
Yeah.
Well, then confront him with that.
Ask him why he said that.
Why did you say that?
Because that's why you listen to it.
Now, what did the lady say? I hear the lady. There's a lady there. Put her on the phone.
Hold on.
I'm looking on the radio.
Yes.
Hello?
I'll talk to a lady.
Hey, come on.
Chrissy, you listen to him. Come here.
No.
Take the headphones off.
Hello?
What do you think the collective IQ is at this particular business establishment?
Do you think the IQ is higher than the temperature right now? What is it out in Sacramento, about 60 degrees?
No, it's about 85.
Well, then I would bet that the temperature is higher than the collective IQ in your office.
In this particular case, I think that's absolutely right. Now, who's the person that was saying something about a housewarming gift?
Oh, that was me.
That was you. Now, and then someone was saying something about the show.
Who said our show sucks?
Well, that's Justin.
All right, well, then Justin lied to us.
So did Justin get on the phone with us and just lie through his teeth?
Well, you know.
Come on.
He has a chronic lying problem.
Ah, he's a pathological liar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We need to work on that with them.
So how can you work in the office with all these losers? You're surrounded by a guy who lies.
They are not losers. They are the best team that I have.
The best team that you have? That is, I can't even begin to tell you how pathetic that is.
You know what? This team rocks, man. They work their butts off, and I just have to say they are stellar.
You sound like you're the boss. Are you the boss?
I am.
We're not gonna get a real verdict from you on these people.
Sure.
You know, I'm a Washington transplant.
Mm-hmm. Because eventually, it's a reflection of you.
How'd you get fired when you were in Washington?
I didn't get fired. I got transferred.
Oh, transferred.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
Transferred, fired.
There's such a
small space between those two.
So, Justin, he's not trouble?
No, Justin's great. He does a great job.
And the guy that won our contest, have you noticed that he breathes through his mouth a lot?
You know, he really does have a breathing problem.
Yes, he does.
He's like a sexual offender or something.
See, she can say that because she's the boss.
Right.
But Justin, I guess Justin's got a pathological lying problem.
Yeah.
I think we're going to have to get Justin on the phone to come clean.
Yeah, you're going to have to. Why don't you be the boss and get Justin to apologize to us,
please?
Well,
you know, in the first place, I had Justin come over and pick up the phone.
Okay.
Because he wouldn't do it.
All right, well,
so
get him over here.
Now I need to have him come over and apologize?
Yes, because he did say the show sucks, and that's not very nice when we're doing.
Clearly, I think he should be groveling and on his knees for this.
Yes, I agree.
Well, honey, if that's your fantasy for Justin, that's fine. We just want an apology. Please.
You're the boss. You can order him to come over to the phone.
Okay, do you want me to do this now?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Come here, Justin.
Come to mommy.
I like the boss. I do like the boss.
Yes.
All right, hold on for a second.
She's obviously very insecure, though, because she's surrounded herself with morons so that she is the brightest bulb on the tree.
Yes, hello?
All right, Justin, you lied to us. That was not nice.
I still have no clue what you're talking about.
You're lying, Justin.
I listen on KHTK.
You're lying.
Okay.
Justin, both your boss and the guy with the bad breath told us that you said it.
Now, Justin,
Justin, we heard it, you see. We heard it, and then two of your coworkers said that it was you.
Back the tape up.
And we're going to play the tape for you now, Justin.
You're getting Robbie to back it up?
Yes, because we want to compare voices here. Now, hold on a second, Justin. Stop your lying.
We can stop this now if you'll just apologize.
Sam, I said it. I was trying to be funny, but it wasn't funny.
Yeah, I'm trying to work here, and this guy comes over here. He's like, I want $1,000, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, just leave me alone. I want to work.
That's a lie, too, Justin.
Huh?
Nobody won $1,000.
And nobody went over to you and said, I want $1,000. We heard the guy called us up. We took the call live on the air. He didn't say anything to anybody.
He put his hand over the phone. He's like, hey, everybody, well, Don and Mike, or something like that.
Yes, but Justin, no one came over to you. Justin, you're digging a deeper hole.
Hold on, you little creep. I'm getting the tape right now.
We will go all day with this, Justin.
Hey, that's fine. I'm just at work.
Good.
I don't
that's
have to
fine.
Do anything anyway.
That's fine. That's good.
We're the apology, you rat.
We're better than you, Justin.
I understand that, and frankly, I enjoy that.
They will always beat you.
We will always win.
Quitter. Robbie, you got that? See, I'm insecure like your boss also. I've surrounded myself with morons also, so I feel better about myself.
Hey, that's really nice.
Okay, Justin. I think having Justin on the phone now, we'll be able to at least do a nice voice comparison, too.
High technology in there? Are you going to run it through
No, Justin,
database?
It's just a lot of people don't sound like a human mosquito like you, so it should be pretty easy.
Rob, any day now.
What? You don't know where it is.
You don't know where it is. Just replay it back past where I said the guy is qualified for $1,000. Just cue it up to there.
He couldn't even do this the other day. When you were talking to your friend.
Are you going to yell at Rob now? You have no place to yell at Rob.
You stop that, Justin. You're on trial here, and the accused does not have the right to throw accusations at other people. You understand that, Justin?
Hold on. Hold on, you creep.
Hold on a second.
You're in our courtroom. Okay,
here we go.
Hands over your mouth.
A lozenge always works, too, because you have to keep the mouth closed.
This is a replay.
Some people don't. What was that?
Pardon me?
Hold on, back it up. That was it right there, Rob.
Very nicely done.
You suck.
So I know your hands over your mouth.
A lozenge always works, too, because you have to keep the mouth closed really well. Some people don't. What was that?
That was Justin. Rewind it, because he says the show sucks. Listen. Let me hear you talk. Go, so I know your hands over your mouth.
A lozenge always works, too, because you have to keep the mouth closed really well. Some people don't. What was that?
Pardon me?
The show sucks, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Words from Justin.
Justin.
His voice.
Hey, Justin.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, Justin, that was you.
I couldn't hear. I'm listening right to the phone, and it didn't sound like me. That sounded like the same guy you took the call from.
Well, Justin, that's very easy. Is there anyone that would sound like that
in your office? Yeah, there's a couple guys here. I mean, because I listen to the show, Justin.
Okay, you listen to the show.
I don't take my headphones off from 1 to 4.
You listen to the show. I appreciate the fact you listen to the show. You know, I might be inclined to give you a prize if you would just meet us halfway and just tell us you said it and just apologize.
What kind of prize are we looking at here?
You know, Justin, that's where you are going to have to count on our goodwill.
You have to take a leap of faith.
But I'll tell you something, Justin. We have a variety of quality prizes.
Considering how mad you are, I don't think I'll be getting a prize. So.
Well, yeah, I guarantee you, you'll get a prize.
See, everybody's listening on tape delay.
So listen, do we get our apology or not? We know it was you little creep.
And you listen every day. If you do, if that's the truth,
it is.
Then you know. Then I mean, you should apologize, and you'll get a prize out of it.
Okay, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara, I would like to take this opportunity to sincerely apologize for saying that. I had no way intention of, you know, being mean to you guys. You put on a fantastic radio show, and I in no way meant what I said earlier.
That was a phenomenal apology.
That was good.
I'm even going to applaud that apology.
Thank you, Justin. No, honestly, it was sincere. You put on a good show, and I enjoy it.
Thank you, Justin.
That was a wonderful apology, and he's earned his prize.
And that was where I get stiffed, right?
No. I'm going to send you one of my boogers.
Oh.
In a baggie.
A booger in a baggie.
Excellent.
A little bit of my DNA.
You know, okay. I'll tell you, when Don gives those away.
Can I get a bowel movement in the baggie?
And all I ask is that you don't pull an OJ, you don't go out and kill somebody and smear my booger on the body so that my DNA shows up.
And, you know, a lot of people, when we give boogers away on the air, those phones light up, Justin.
I can tell this line's about to cut out there and getting rid of it. I mean,
they're collector's items. And you know what? I'm going to wait until a day when I'm real phlegmy, and maybe I'll be able to get you a bloody booger.
That sounds great.
And we'll call it Justin's Day.
Oh, that's fabulous.
Justin, thank you for the apology.
No problem.
You're a good man, Justin. Now go back to your headphones.
Do I put the winner back on?
Yes, and then we'll need to get your information, too, because, Justin, I am a man of my word.
That's right.
I swear to God, I will send you one of my boogers in the mail.
A booger in a baggie.
That would be fabulous.
Now put the guy with the bad breath on, please.
Okay, no problem. Have a good day, fellas.
Thank you, Justin. You know, eventually there's always justice in the Don in my courtroom.
It was fine, Justice, and I will tell you, quite often those under duress apologies are not good. I believe Justin may have given us the best one ever.
Mm-hmm. I think so. Hello?
Have we got Slacker back on?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Now, what have you learned today? You're not going to breathe through your mouth, right?
Right.
Right, good man. All right, beautiful. Tell me something, that boss of yours, is she hot?
Oh, yeah.
Who's the celebrity she most resembles?
I don't know. Who do you guys think?
Oh,
hold on.
Can't you think on your own? Just one?
Really? I can't think.
Of course you can.
Would you like to have sex with her?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Oh. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Matter of fact. Thank you for calling Educate.
Have you ever thought about having sex with her?
No.
Hold on, please, mouth breather. Hold on. Thank you for listening.
This is the Don and Mike Show. A wop, bop, a loop, a wop, bam, boom.
Romance.
Love. even better than a nice dab in the ass. The Don and Mike Show.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Mike, it's Angela. I just wanted to say hello to you again. It was a pleasure meeting you Saturday.
Angela from my brother-in-law's party. Hey, baby.
How you doing, boy?
Oh, this is my buddy from my brother-in-law's party. You know, I always tell people that I ever socialize with, I said, don't call the show, but you can call the show because I like you, Angela.
Angela sounds like a man, baby.
She's a lovely lady.
I'm not a man.
She's a hot soul sister, baby. Well, we had a great time at that party, Angela.
Yes, we did, and I didn't get a chance to say Happy Father's Day to you the next day.
Well, you are the only one. Thank you. Thank you very much, and I had a great time at Lou's party.
Sure.
Thanks, Angela.
You have a good one.
Okie doke.
Listen, bye-bye. Speaking of, why don't you go first? Because I know that we always do the weekend recap, and I do have a bunch of weekend stuff to tell you about, including what turned out to be a very nice Father's Day weekend.
Good. Yep.
That was given to me by my family. But I turn the floor over instead to Mike.
Okay. All right. That Angela called from, she was at a party that my brother-in-law had for a bunch of teachers that he worked with, and she's a security guard that worked in the school. I think they did the night school program at one of the high schools and it's a very tough deal, tough job. And they were celebrating a good season. There were lots of teachers there. I didn't know anybody, Angela included. We had a fantastic time because I just hit it off with all these people. And Angela, we were all cutting rugs and dancing and everything. It was a fantastic party. That was the middle of the weekend, Don. That was the Saturday night.
Saturday
evening, when my wife and I arrived, no one was there yet. None of the teachers had arrived for this party yet, and we were at my brother-in-law's house. And as we sat down, I believe the subject of Father's Day came up. And as soon as the subject came up, I heard my wife go, and I looked at her and said, what? Oh, you didn't even know. You didn't even know.
This was on Saturday night?
Saturday evening, right before the party was going to start. I said, you didn't know, did you? And she gave me that look that says, yes, I did. I said, no, you really didn't know. And we were going to stay over at my brother-in-law's house with the kids, because we brought the kids with us, and we stayed over there on Saturday night. And it became evident to me on Sunday that she really didn't know. And that was my Father's Day. And later on in the day, you know what, I didn't throw in one last detail. Okay, first of all, there's nothing. For Father's Day. It was really nothing.
Ouch. I mean,
no, nothing. No, not a card.
Did you get a card?
I got a card later in the day after my wife took the kids out to the grocery store. Later in the day.
Wow.
Like 5, 6 o'clock, something like that.
5, 6 yesterday afternoon.
Yes, yeah, evening. Uh-oh. Nighttime.
Jesus.
We'd been out. We'd had a late night. Angela was at that party. It was a great party. So it was a Sunday was just a day to crap out. We didn't do much of anything. I laid around all day. My wife laid around all day. The kids watched TV all day. We we played in the pool for a little while with the kids, and I mowed the lawn, and it was just a non-day. But that was it. That was Father's Day. There wasn't a card. There wasn't a gift. There wasn't any. It was a not. As I said, now look, I firmly believe that I am in the vast majority of American males in this country when Father's Day is just not a day that is acknowledged.
I think you're
special, and I think you should feel special.
I do, but I still think you're in the minority, because I think even though Father's Day is greatly underappreciated.
This depression, right. Incidentally.
I think most fathers, even when they're slighted,
right,
at least get the obligatory card.
This depression, incidentally, is continuing. It is for whatever reason. I'm probably making too much of it, but it's snowballed. And as my wife knew it was Father's Day because the subject came up the night before with her sister, she was very nice to me. She like rubbed my feet, which I like. She scratched my back, that kind of stuff. You know. Let me do whatever. Got me a drink at one point, which I thought was wonderful.
Okay.
And so I didn't mention this, that this morning when I was leaving, after we'd had a discussion about money.
Translated means a fight.
I looked over, and there was my oldest daughter, Catherine, had given me a little card and actually had written her name in it, which is she just turned 5. It's a big deal for her. And I love that card that they got. Yesterday afternoon, late in the day at the grocery store,
of course,
for the afterthought known as Dad. Nothing against my kids. It was a wonderful, to get a car.
No, listen,
she was excited about getting. I noticed today, you're gonna love this. Right before I came to work, I look over and there's another card that I guess had been purchased for Elizabeth to give me. And it was sitting there, and it hadn't even been signed. It was sitting there, and it had just been purchased. So not only was Father's Day forgotten, not only was the card, but then there was another card that had been purchased. And this is from yesterday. It wasn't. It just nobody bothered to fill it out, I guess. But it was a specific Father's Day card, so that was my Father's Day. I'm sorry.
Oh, brother.
As, you know, I became apparent, it became more apparent that, you know, the Father's Day in the O'Mara household is one seriously. My mom called. My mother, who is not obligated to call me on Father's Day, called to wish me happy Father's Day.
That's nice.
You know? Yeah, so that was...
Did you mention this to your wife?
I mentioned it the night before. I mentioned... Oh,
I mean, but like, when Sunday rolled around...
No, I haven't. I didn't. I mentioned during the day, I would say a couple of times, I would be, hey, it's Father's Day, great, you know, and I'd be kind of like that, and then, but I mean, it was obvious, oh. I know in my house, I know when something like that, nothing's going to happen anyway. It's not like there's going to be any, you know, fire drill that's going to cause, you know, Father's Day to be changed or anything.
And
like
as
that.
We discussed last week, never is there really the big pomp and circumstance for Father's Day that you have for Mother's Day or even for Grandparents' Day or obviously
right.
for a birthday or for an anniversary, but I would think it's the very least, if your wife goes out and shops, she would have to run into the advertisements that say,
right.
Well, Father's Day, Sunday.
When for Christmas, my wife bought me a basketball backboard that she was going to set up, and I was hoping that for Father's Day, she might have finished putting that together and put it up, but that didn't happen either. So I was, you know, I was kind of looking at it in the backyard as I was mowing the lawn, and I saw it sitting there because she picked it up last week and or the week before, and I was hoping that might get put together.
Hold on, let's see that.
Pardon me?
There's layers here.
Yeah.
This was a gift that she got you when?
Christmas.
And she just picked it up?
A couple of weeks ago, I think. Yeah. A week ago. It hasn't been. I don't know.
When Mike tells a story, you got it. It's almost like one of those three or four level cakes.
Feel it back.
It's almost like a trip to the center of the journey of the journey to the center of the earth where
right.
there's the many different
yes.
levels you got
yes.
to hear this story
yeah.
in.
I'm excited. We figured out a place to put it, and we found that out last week. And I was hoping maybe that would happen, but that didn't happen either.
Oh,
so
brother.
It was a very. I'd be lying if I didn't say I was a little depressed at the end of the day.
Sure.
But I can't get too depressed and overreact too much because I've got the birthday coming up. I've got the birthday coming up this week.
Well, this would not be your wife calling on the hotline.
I don't know. Let's see.
Your wife has never called the show before. Hello?
You have an AT&T collect call. Caller, at the tone, please say your name.
Jimmy.
Oh.
Will you accept charges?
Doesn't sound like my wife.
Yeah.
Say yes or no now.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Thank you for using AT&T.
Good. It's good for me to get off this subject. Before
no,
I get into
I think
trouble.
It's bad.
Before I get into
I want
trouble.
To hear more.
That's it. That's it pretty much in a nutshell. Jimmy.
Hey.
Hey, dude.
What's going on?
Jimmy, you, of course, you're divorced from your ex-wife.
Yeah.
Did you receive a Father's Day card yesterday?
No.
From your daughter?
Well, I didn't see Rachel yesterday.
Did you get one in the mail?
No. I'll get one next weekend when I pick her up.
Uh-huh. You're not alone, Mike. You're not alone.
I did get technically before midnight of last night, I received a card. So I can't.
Yeah.
You know.
I know.
But I, you know, it was the depression really hit me on Saturday night. We were all sitting around, and I looked over and I realized there was someone in the room that had no idea that Father's Day was Sunday. Yeah.
That's bad. Sorry.
Yeah. I'm very depressed.
Sorry.
Yeah, that was it. That was it. But I can't overreact because, you know, I got the big day coming up this week.
Well, you better start, like, writing her notes to remind her that your birthday's coming up this week.
Right now, the way it is, I mean, I sat there today. I was eating a hamburger patty with some cheese on it, just sitting there on a plate. And I'm watching television, and I just was... bumming, and I just want to stop bumming out about this because it really will get to me if I think about it too much. But it's big deal.
Yeah, no.
Just like my birthday. Last year was the big 4-0. That was an important birthday to me. This year's birthday means dick to me. It does. It's not like the big one.
No,
last
but Father's
year.
Day is a day that no matter how it is slighted
I
by
know.
The women folk,
yep.
should not be ignored.
I know. Mm-hmm. I
and
feel the same way.
And damn it, I'll say it. The fault is not with your beautiful children who have just learned how to write their names.
No, not at all.
The fault is not with your beautiful children for whom every day is Father's Day.
I think my daughter might have said to me, really, I think she might have said, what about, how come there's not a kid's day? Which I thought was funny.
Yeah.
And that's when I informed her that every day is kid's day.
Right. Okay. Hello, Jimmy.
Hey.
Hey, dude.
What's going on?
Everybody, of course, my real-life brother, Jim, the Earth Dog.
Hey, Jim.
Are you driving the truck today?
Yeah, I'm up here in Baltimore.
Hey, you're close to home.
He's dangerously close.
I'm
Through
D.C. tonight.
Pardon me?
I'll be coming through Washington tonight.
Will you just be passing through?
Yeah.
Aw. Damn.
All the way down, I got to go up here to Aberdeen and then down past Richmond.
Damn.
Wants to be.
Yeah, that's what I felt.
Damn. I know he wants to be invited.
I could make a detour by your house.
There you go. Made him say it.
I know he wants to be invited. All right. Would it be an overnight stay?
No.
All right. Come on by.
I mean, what the hell?
Why don't you come by the station?
Either way. No, I'd rather have him come by the house. No, come on by.
No, it won't be. I got to unload at 11:30 tonight. I wouldn't be in Washington until about 1 or 2 in the morning.
1 or 2 a.m., well, for goodness sakes, I guarantee I'll be fast asleep then.
Leave the door open for me.
Yeah, right, I'll do that. No, really, what's your schedule? Can you, seriously, all kidding aside, you know that you are...
Yeah, right.
Now, listen, hold on. I kept a straight face during your discussion.
I know you
about
did.
Father's Day. Okay?
I know, that's right, absolutely.
So keep a straight face now with me and my brother.
I will.
And I do mean this. From my ticker, mm-hmm. You are welcome anytime.
Uh-huh.
So how about it?
How about what?
I am offering you the invitation to shack up.
Can't stop this time.
Can't stop this time.
What do you, what's that in the background? Is that music inside your truck?
No, it's a stupid TV I'm hearing the truck stop.
Oh. Are you showering?
No, I won't do that till later on.
You sound down now, Jimmy.
Are you all right, Jimmy?
I just woke up. I was listening to G. Gordon for a little bit, and he put me to sleep.
Oh, God. That'll do it to you. All right, so listen, you're in the immediate area.
Yeah.
But really, there is no way that you could just run by?
No.
Even for a brief visit, which is
nope.
The kind of visit that I love the best?
No.
Nope. A brief visit?
No. Nope.
What are you hauling today, Jim?
Frozen meat.
Oh, maybe he could swing by, huh?
I got chicken nuggets and chicken and cheese nuggets and stuff like that.
Oh.
What is the latest? I'm sorry, you just lost my
idea. Yeah, absolutely. I was thinking maybe you had like some good USDA Prime or something like that.
What is the latest in your soap opera of a life with Mom and Dad?
Oh, geez, they had me back in court last Monday.
Last Monday again back in court?
Yeah.
And why was that?
I didn't go. I don't know what it was about either. I didn't call my attorney yet.
You know, my mom and dad have got this deal where my brother, as you know, has the restraining order against my mom and dad that they can't come within 100 feet of him. My mom and dad went back to court to fight that under the grounds that they wanted to see their granddaughter, my brother's daughter, even though they really don't want to see her. They really just want to have this restriction order expunged from the record.
Right.
Yeah.
Because that's all they really care about is appearances.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's it.
I'm pretty much telling it the way that it is.
I never really cared about seeing Rachel before.
Right. And
they screwed her on her birthday last year. They didn't see her till she was 3 years old. You know.
And I was counseling my brother about this. Was it last week we talked about this? You know, it's like my mom and dad want to get a pissing match with him. And I said, at some point, you just have to back off a little bit. You have to say, you know what? You won the battle. You proved to them that you can stand on your own 2 feet. You got the restraining order against them. If they want to come back into court and make asses out of themselves, you know, let them do it.
Yeah.
And if they want to...
It's such a fine line. You know, sometimes if you lay down and you just walk the other way and just say, forget it, you take the high ground, then it just empowers people to keep being jerks. But sometimes it's a good idea. It's very difficult to decide when you're gonna confront and when you're not going to confront.
But with my mom and dad, I mean, and this is the lesson that I hope my brother learns from me, when they finally realized that they had nothing else that they could hold over my head, when they finally realized, I think it was Frida. What did Frida tell you that she told them, Jimmy?
Oh, that she just was... You know, pitied them.
Yeah, said...
You know, she was very sorry for them.
So she was sorry for their...
That really just pissed Francis off.
And once my mom and dad realized that they'd run against this brick wall, that there was really nothing that they could say or do... Mm-hmm. To hurt me. I mean, keep in mind that they sent back all of my baby stuff in a box and sent me letters letters saying you're not really our son, you know, you were adopted, nobody wanted you. We went through all of that, and she called one time, and Frida just said to her, you know what, Fran, we just pity you. You know, we feel bad for you. All of a sudden, it dried up. They just
they stopped bugging me. Mm-hmm. They stopped trying to get in a pissing match with me, which is what you have to do. You just have to let it go.
Yeah, I was letting it go after I got the restraining order until they came back into town last month and drug my ass back in court.
I know, but you just...
You know, and it's like you just said, you know, it really pissed Francis off that they went back to court twice, and I guess last Monday the restraining order's still in place.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I would have heard from my attorney.
Right, so like I told...
I just eating them alive, man.
Like I told you, take some solace out of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I do. I'm enjoying that.
All right.
I don't care.
No, you do care.
If they want to see Rachel, fine. Like, it's like we talked about. They'll see her in August when they come up. And it'll slowly dwindle away.
So the thing my mom and dad are trying to do is they're trying to invoke, maybe you've read about this, the grandparents rule.
Right. Yeah.
This thing that's gotten a lot of pub recently.
Right, right.
No, they don't even want to do that. The attorney told them last month that's what they should do. And Sam stood up in court. Oh, no, we want the whole restraining order done away with. Mm-hmm. And the judge asked him, well, if you don't care to see your son, why don't you just go take the ex-wife back through court, divorce court, and get visitation on grandparents' law?
Yeah.
They don't want to do that. They want to go get the whole restraining order done away with.
Because that's, you know, and in that way, I told my brother, that's where you don't realize. That's where you got Sam and Fran
mm-hmm.
by the short hairs.
Right.
That all they really care about is appearances and what other people think.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's killing them
sure.
that you've got a restraining order against them and that people know about it.
Yeah.
So, you know, congratulations, you won.
Yeah. Well, I told you what the police report said when they tried to serve Francis.
What?
You know.
No, what?
Oh, well, she didn't answer the door. The cop could see him inside the house. So the cop pulled down the street and waited. He saw Francis get in the car and leave. He tried pulling Francis over. She refused to stop.
Wow.
And then once he pulled her over, she refused to give him the driver's license and a whole bit till he threatened to put her ass in jail.
My mother. Hey, everybody, it's my mother.
Wow.
I will tell you that I did not send Sam a Father's Day card yesterday.
No.
I did not. And I'm assuming that you didn't either, right?
Oh, no.
Right, okay.
No.
All right, well, listen, we were right in the middle of hearing a gut-wrenching story from Mike about Father's Day.
Yeah.
So I've got to get back to that now.
Uh-oh. It's the forgotten day in my house, Jimmy.
Oh.
Yeah.
He didn't get anything yesterday.
Yeah, I didn't either. Not even from Jamie.
Well, see, I mean, I would venture to say, I know that you think that it might be like an observed holiday. I don't believe I am in any distinct minority.
But technically, though,
I think I might have forgotten my dad's Father's Day, like even when I was into my teens and stuff like that.
Jamie, the girl you're living with, though, you don't have any kids with her, right?
No, but, you know, she didn't even yet. I was on the road. I left yesterday morning about 10. You know, we had breakfast and all that, and she never even once said Happy Father's Day. For Mother's Day, I got her a card. I got her a present, the whole nine yards.
Sure.
You know,
all right.
She didn't say boo.
You know, here
I called Rachel yesterday morning.
You know what? You don't want to. I don't want you. Here's the deal. Here's what I think. I don't think you want to realize just how beautifully you were
lucky.
Treated.
You know what? I think
and
you're right.
You were treated above and beyond the call of duty.
I was just going to say that. I was just going to say that. That normally I come in on Monday and I bitch about how awful my weekend's
right.
Were.
That's
but
right.
In actuality, today, I'm going to bore you with how fantastic my Father's Day was yesterday. They went out of the way to make yesterday a great day for
right.
me. Really?
That's great.
Sorry about that, guys. Sorry. All right. I love you.
All right.
Call me.
Okay.
Okay.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, thank goodness that hall has to keep going all the way through D.C. tonight. Thank goodness.
And it came at a good time because I don't want to go overboard about this just because I got bummed out on Father's Day.
I had an
overall pretty decent weekend, which really the middle of this weekend was the party for the teachers the other night, which was really a good time. I had a great time.
This
a wonderful time.
Is the Don and Mike Show.
You know, Beverly, golfers like to keep dirt and debris off their golf balls.
Oh, yeah.
Particularly when you're putting. They call me three-putt buck. That's why we have cleaning devices around the golf courses. You know, those things you squish up and down. Well, one golfer didn't use a wet towel or any cleaning device. He licked his balls clean.
They love the smell of their own putt. Don and Mike.
There's the hotline again. Hello?
Shitty Bear.
Yes, darling.
We have a question here.
Yes.
My sister and I.
Yes.
Hi, Mike. I'm sorry about...